Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
So do you remember your passing out day?
I do, yes. Very blustery morning, yes. Very blustery.
How did you feel?
Great, excited. You know, it was dull, the clouds was overhead, very dull, and a few thunderstorms, and the people on the right-hand side, me coming out of the archway. No, the family was there, my father, my mother, brothers, my own wife and two children. It was great.
Your kids must have been very proud of
you. Oh, they were, yeah. My father was there, especially for my father. I have two brothers already, three brothers in the army, and my father was there in his wheelchair, all wrapped up in his blanket.
Ladies and gentlemen, on Cornish Minister for the Mr. Vedder.
Officers and men of the 68th Battalion, I'm delighted to have this opportunity of speaking to you before you, chair of the ranks here present, will be equal to that challenge and will demonstrate the impartiality and grace under pressure. That has been the great characteristic of our Defence Force personnel in UNIFIL operations over the years.
I reckon that if you're in the Army, you should be willing to do whatever the Army asks you or whatever job it takes in. And I reckon Lebanon is part of the job, you know, although you volunteer for it.
The day he came in and told me, I was cooking his dinner at the time, and when he said, right, I'm going on the 16th of October, I just turned around and just looked at him, and my heart just starts beeping.
Tell me about going home to tell your wife.
Well, wait until I went home. I didn't rush in the door either. You know, I just walked in. I was probably tired that day. You know, I just walked in and sat down and got the news for us on RTE, and then I told her.
We will miss him. It's obvious we're going to miss him. I mean, 6 months. I mean, he is my husband, and the kids are going to miss their father. But they're that age now that they can understand a bit more. Where, like, the majority of the other fellas that are going, they have small families. So, where I'm not so bad, I've two kids, they're 10 and 7. So, like, they understand that bit more. So, that's a help too.
Do they realise about the danger?
Sharon does, more so than Derek. Like, when Tommy was saying to her he was going, and this, when Brian Keenan was released, she thought he'd be taken hostage. So Tommy explained to her that it's in a different part of the Lebanon that he's going to, and he'll be safe. So once she knows that, so...
Do they think about him actually getting killed at all?
No, we haven't really kind of talked about that. Like, that's going to be the worry, the main worry. Is he going to come home? You know, is he going to come home? But, oh.
Well, I don't really want him to go because I'll be lonely and I'll miss him and all.
Do you play a lot with your daddy?
Yeah, he tickles us and all. Well, Mammy will, but, like, she's not as fun as Daddy.
What do you think about Lebanon?
I don't think it's a nice place. People get killed and all. I think it's dangerous. And I think he shouldn't go.
Why?
Because he might get hurt and he might sprain his ankle or something.
Would you like to go with him?
No way.
Are you going to be in the army when you grow up?
No. I'm going to be the man in the house. And I'm going to mind my mummy.
And write to Daddy.
And write to Daddy. Every week and every month.
Your 4th week's training will be concentrated on weapons used in the Glenfinnan. You will fire all the weapons that you have trained in. That is the 84 anti-tank, the 60 millimeter mortar, the GPMG SF that you can hear in the background.
Hello, I'm going to be involved in the what's called the 60 millimeter mortar. We have a small mortar tube, and I have a crew of four people. You have a DC, a 1, a 2, and a 3. Now, we all have our own particular jobs on this gun. But at the same time, we've got to know every job that has to be done on the gun. So if anything happens, we'll be able to fill in one of those places on the weapon. Its range is up to a mile long, and it fires four different bombs. But in action, they fire three types. One is HE, the explosive bomb. Another one is the helium, that if at night time something happens, this helium bomb is fired into the air and it lights up the whole area. And you have the smoke bomb, which gives cover. If the troops have to move into an area, this smoke bomb is fired and you're concealed by the smoke, so you can move in any position you want to. You can injure, maim, anything at all within the 30 metre area. Mm-hmm. You know, so it can do quite a bit of damage.
Attachments! Range 800.
Range 800.
Immediate front.
Immediate front.
Waterfall.
Waterfall.
Lay.
Lay. Unlock. Unlock.
Right, the number two assists with the unlocking of the gun.
Lock. Lock. On.
Right, number two checks it.
On.
Right. Detachments.
Detachments.
And the targets in front.
Target in front.
Normal fire, engage.
Normal fire, engage.
Fifth week is more or less a ceremonial week. We're preparing ourselves for the ministerial review in McKee Barracks. It's very, very much a relaxed week. There'll be a lot of time off so that people can get personal affairs sorted out. And the sixth week is preparation for Chalk One, which flies out on the 16th of October. Any questions?
Will we have many duties to do, sir?
In Lebanon?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, the basic working day in Lebanon is 8 hours on duty, 8 hours resting, off, and then the other 8 hours is probably work details in and around barracks. Now, you can take it that it's a 7 day working week. There is no time off with the exception of your annual allotment of leave outside.
What do we do on our time off, sir?
In your time off, you're given 2 weeks annual leave in Lebanon plus 2 60-hour passes. Now, most people take that opportunity to visit one of the neighbouring countries, for example, Cyprus or Egypt or something like that. If possible, we try and give you all that leave in bulk so you have a decent break from the area of operations.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
I'm glad to be here. I know that truck, that bus, and that airplane. It is a terrible long journey.
Now, you're going to spend your next 6 months around this Irish Pat AO in the A Company. It's a pretty cushy AO. It's a good AO. You learn a lot about the position in Lebanon. Tomorrow morning, you'll be going out to a post 614 Charlie. That's a post that sends in a lot of move reps. You'll be observing the Israeli positions.
Yes,
You'll be sending a lot of move reps, possibly shoot reps as well. Now, tomorrow morning when you go out, you'll be on an early board, which is a mine sweep of the road leading to 614 Charlie.
So he starts work straight away?
When he goes out.
The poor boy no rest.
Unfortunately, he's in Lebanon now, especially, you know.
I see. Now, it's terribly windy here. Should we go?
So here we are now, Tommy. This is where you'll be staying for the night before you head out to 614 Charlie. It's a grand billet. I've slept in it for 6 months, so it's weatherproof.
It'll take you a while to get used to sleeping in a bed like that too, won't it?
Well, the beds are normal beds, just I think they're called mozzinets.
Mozzinets.
Yeah, would take a bit getting used to.
But you'll definitely get used to those. You'll be happy you have one. There's plenty of night now you'll be eating alive, even when you're inside it.
Is that right, yeah?
It's a good thing to have, you know?
Different situation here. Different country, I don't know.
The one thing about this country is that you take nothing for granted. Out here, it's your life, your buddy's life. When you work professionally. At home in Ireland, you can take things cushy to a certain extent because they're your own people. Out here, you'll have situations where you'll be up to you to make a life-saving decision. You take your time out here. You don't rush things. You look at things in a perspective that anything can happen and anything will happen. Like
so, what you're actually saying is you get on with the locals, but at the same time you don't trust them.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't trust nobody out here. You trust yourself, your buddies, but still you get on with them. Tomorrow morning, you'll be woken at 7 o'clock. You'll have your breakfast roughly about around 7:30, and then 8 o'clock, 8:10, you'll be moving out to Suzu.
After that noisy, noisy trip, we've just arrived. And where are we now?
We're on the road that leads to an OP, the Observation Post 614 Charlie, which is going to be based for a length of time, which I don't know yet at the moment. It could be 2 months, it could be 6 months. They're getting the SST equipment ready now at the moment, you know.
What's the SST?
The special search team.
For the new fellas in particular, what we're doing this morning is doing a sweep of the road, right? The reason we're doing this is to ensure that the road is safe for both our own personnel and civilians to travel up along the road, as civilians also use part of the road. What we're searching for is anything suspicious, anything such as a roadside bomb, a tank mine, etc. Okay? Now, you're going to be broken up into three different groups, two flanking groups and one group on the road. The job of the flanking groups will be to search for wires, okay? You will have an RDK, which is electronic wire detector, with you. This will assist you in detecting buried wires, okay? The reason you're looking for wires is in case there is a command post where a roadside bomb can be set off from, okay? If you see or detect a wire at any stage, you immediately stop, send back one of the people and inform me that you've found a wire. At that stage, we'll get it checked out. The people on the road, their job would be to check and make sure there are no buried mines or roadside bombs along the side of the road. Again, you'll have the pieces of equipment which you have there to assist you in detecting these. Has anybody got any questions? There's a possibility as well, at some stages over the summer, we have encountered snakes along the flanks as they're going through some fairly rough terrain there, and snakes have been found at times. If they find a snake, they avoid it, basically.
And kill it?
Kill it. If they have to, they kill it, but if not, they'll avoid it. It's quite difficult, believe it or not, to kill a snake, even with a rifle, because they are very tricky and very fast.
When my daddy writes to me, he tells me that how it is up there and that the weather is really warm. And he tells me he does be on duty and he does get up early every morning to do the early bird. He gets up real early and he checks for the roads if there's any bombs or explosives, but there never does be any.
Private Riley, my name is Sergeant Kelly. I'm IC of Post 614 Charlie. I'd like to welcome you to the post.
Thank you very much, Sergeant.
Now, if you step this way, I'll orientate you in the area. How you'll know north is Beirut. How you know south is obvious is South Lebanon. And east will take you into Israel. And left will take you back into our HQ, which is Tulin. While you're doing sentry duty, you will be the eyes and ears of the camp, making sure we are not attacked. And if we come under attack, you will shout, or you'll fire three rounds into the air. Now, otherwise, you'll be observing the area of Tulusa compound and the surrounding area. Monitor and report all movements in and out of the compound, and report any unusual activity to me, the guard commander, or who may be the guard commander. And I will report it then to our battalion HQ, which in turn will report it to UNIFIL Ops. Any questions on that?
So Tulusa seems to be the main area to observe.
Yeah, that's it. The 24-hour duty, but you will do 2 hours on, 2 hours off, continuing to the 24 hours.
Now, he's miles up here in the mountains. Does he eat up here?
We cook our own food up here. The miscellaneous group does all the cooking and the cleaning. The rest of our people are free for the day.
And can you actually sleep up here too?
We can. We have accommodations over beyond. We have two billets. 5 men in one billet and 4 in the other. Accommodation is quite good.
So how long does he stay here before he goes back down?
You do approximately 2 months here. You might do 2 months then in Aljorn, and then you could do 2 months in the camp. That's your 6 months. Now, in between, you'll have 2 60-hour passes and 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks holidays.
How often would I get into the canner? Or a drop of orange or whatever?
Every third night. Which the canteen opens from 8 to 10, and probably only allowed 3 or 4 cans. As you know, you're in an operational area.
So what else of importance now have you to tell him?
The only other thing is to keep the camp tidy, keep your billet tidy, your bed space and all that, and try and keep yourself busy. As you see, things are fairly quiet around here.
So how does he keep himself busy?
Well, we try to have volleyball, soccer within the camp, and if you're any good at any of the sports, you'll be brought into camp to play volleyball, soccer, table tennis, darts, quizzes. All depends on yourself.
So it is an asset to be a good sportsman?
Without a doubt, yes.
So tell me, what do you excel at?
Not much at the moment, but we're going to excel at something.
I've got to be better. So how do you feel about all that?
Well, looking forward to it. The weather's been good, and we only hope it's very open, though, you know, and I only hope we don't have too bad of a winter.
So what's all this you have underneath your arm now? Has Tommy to learn about that as well?
What I have here now is the radio log, shoot reps and move reps, which are taking over the any forwarding within their area, reported to the company.
So a shoot rep means that every single time he hears a shot, he has to write it in the
report it down. The time it started and the time it finished.
Okay. And the next one is?
The next one is a move rep.
Any movement?
Any movement of IDF. Or DFF, which is, the DFF is supported by the Israelis, and the IDF is the Israeli Defence Force, and they come and go within the area. All depends if they come under fire. If they come under fire, there's a lot of shooting. If they don't, they're usually quiet.
Yesterday at about 8 o'clock in the morning, we heard explosions. When you hear an explosion force, sometimes it could be caused by jets, with a boom of the jets going over. Then we heard many more, so we knew that something was happening. Lots more shelling followed, then machine gun fire. Eventually we heard that two DFF had been killed by a landmine, and this firing by the DFF compound was in retaliation. No one knows who killed the DFF, but such are the ways in Lebanon. So all UN vehicles were called back in, checkpoints doubled up, and men were posted to sandbag positions all around the camp. The firing lasted for about 4 to 5 hours.
Halfway through my trip, it's amazing what I got used to. You probably hear the noise in the background, the generator. At first, I found it very hard to sleep at night time, you know. But now, you don't even hear it. It's a lot of time to think, and that's what really gets to me most, you know. No matter what job you're doing, you've just time to think about what's going on around you and what's like at home for the wife and the children, like, you know. And especially my father, he was not well, like, you know. But then there are the good times, you know. People that you've never known or seen before. And the 8 weeks of training in Kilbride and back in Dublin, and the period of time out here, they're great people. And we have great sessions in the canteen, brilliant sessions.
1,050.
We have great times during the bingo sessions. It is the highlight and the biggest social event of the week. Captain J.R. Lynch is an expert calling the numbers. He does his best to catch you out. For instance, you might say 3 and 4, and you say check, then he will say 7, and you are fined for this mistake. Such are the games we play. The prizes are great. A trip to Wembley for the England-Ireland game, music centres and Raymond Wheel watches.
68!
68! Yeah! We have great sing-song nights as well. Quiz nights, some barbecues, fancy dress nights, shorts and shades. Tracksuit nights as well. Here in the hills, we must wear a uniform at all times. So a night in any kind of cities is really such a relief just to get out of the gear.
Went by, it hasn't been, like, in the weeks, it hasn't been so bad, you know, like, we do have our moments. I feel
what's the worst time?
Night time. No, I know, I'm not so bad, like, I have my running and I go out, but, like, coming back and knowing that he's not there, you know, it gets to me.
How good are you at managing?
I've always been good at managing. I mainly looked after the bills, so, like, there's no worry. You know, like, the main concern is the kids. Well, you see, they're playing up on me a lot since Tommy went away, you know. And if I say to them, right, I'm writing to your daddy tonight, and before they go to bed, they apologise. And they say, don't tell daddy we were doing this, and don't tell daddy we were doing that. But apart from that, they've been very good. You know, like, they have their days, I suppose. I mean, they're kids. Like Derek, I find Derek more so upsetting than Sharon. Sharon holds it. She keeps it to herself. Now, she'll cry at night time in bed. Where Derek, if Derek gets a letter, he starts crying straight away. And when he's writing to Tommy, he starts crying again.
How are you?
Been a long time.
I'm very well.
You well?
Yes, I am.
Thank
yes.
you. Nice to meet you.
And how are you?
Thank you very
You're from
much.
From the Haddata village?
I am from Haddata village.
Where you had the trouble 2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago, yes.
Yes, it was very bad.
It's very bad for the village, because the small village. Yeah, we don't know what had the reason why he shot in Haddata. I don't know. That's...
Was there two SLA?
Two SLA he's killed. Who killed? Yeah. They killed in the glaive, inside.
Inside
not, nobody shooting into to compound. Why he shooting Haddata or any village? Civilian man. Yeah. The farmer and children. And
is that the excuse they gave for the shooting?
What?
That somebody was killed.
There was two of their own SLA soldiers killed.
And then they decided to shoot.
So they took out revenge on the village, indiscriminate firing in the village.
That's right.
I see.
For about 3-4 hours, wasn't it?
No more, from 8 o'clock morning until 5.
5 o'clock.
When the Irish came in and drive in the ABC, it stopped.
Stopped, yeah.
There's a good for B company, because they help the people in the engine, or they help the people for exactly in the students.
Okay, we've just come from Chilean. We're here now in the village of Cabrica, and we're going to go on a foot patrol. We've just dismounted from the CZU APC, and we're going on a foot patrol in the village of Cabrica. It's your typical Lebanese village. By that, we're talking about two-storey houses with flat roofs, quite close together, with a lot of little roads and paths running through the houses, or running beside the houses.
Okay.
The population of the village here would be approximately 1,000 people.
The houses look quite grand.
They are. Most of them are in quite good condition, and in fact, they're much better on the inside than they are on the out. Very few people actually use paint here for some reason. Most of them are just the plaster work that we were finished in. We just walk through the village and say hello to the people and just make our presence known and make sure and let the people know that we're around to assist them.
And if they come out to ask you questions or have complaints, what would they be?
Most of their complaints or questions would be, I suppose, on a humanitarian basis. That being, they'd be wondering if we could help them out in some way for whether, for example, if after their houses were shelled here approximately 6 weeks ago, there was quite a lot of damage done in some of their houses. So they asked if we could assist them in ways of reconstructing the damage which was done. And wherever possible, we do whatever we can.
Mm-hmm. Very quiet.
It's very quiet. All the villages are like this, especially now. It's around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Most of them would be on their siesta at this time. Now we're just coming up to a spot here where one of the 81 mortar shells landed when the village was shelled about 6 weeks ago. It's just here on our left-hand side. Luckily, this one didn't actually hit any house, so there was no major damage done, but you can actually see the marks. You'll be able to see the hole in the ground where the shell actually landed.
Oh, yes.
Just there where the bottles are.
Yeah.
That was the first round. Now, we actually had an APC in the village at the time. That round exploded, and it was roughly about 100 metres up in that direction, the APC, when that round landed there.
So they were lucky to be out of the way.
They were lucky they weren't closer at the time.
Yeah.
Quite lucky.
Yeah.
There was a total of 9 rounds fired into the village that night.
Oh,
there was quite a lot of damage done.
Yeah.
There was 3 houses severely damaged, but luckily there was nobody injured. Believe it or not, you could actually get lost quite easily in a village like this, because you just walk in and all the little tracks and going everywhere, you get confused quite easily.
Yeah. I notice the soldiers are constantly followed by children.
That's a common factor here in Lebanon. They're a bit of a novelty, I suppose, more than anything, and they like to follow us around and get their photographs taken with us and things like that.
Yeah. Are they ever a nuisance?
Not really, no, because after all, if you make friends with the children, that's what we're out here to do, to mix with the people and familiarise ourselves with them and let them get to know us. So it's a positive thing, the fact that the children are out mixing with the soldiers.
Hello! What's your name?
Actually, it only happened the other morning, 2 mornings ago.
Yes.
Hello.
Marhaba.
Sad.
Who's snack?
Sad.
Sad?
On television. So, are you all set with the Christmas greeting? Now, first of all, tell me how you've been getting on.
Great, great.
Now tell me the truth now.
It's pretty good out here. The weather's making the part, you know, keeping up.
Yeah. Yeah. And you never liked the sun, so you didn't?
No, I never liked the heat at all.
Yeah.
That's great now.
Tommy vowed he would never go out in the sun again because he had one terrible burning. And now he's what? Show your tanned arms. Look at that. Yeah. Fantastic. Are you going to show your tanned chest?
No, I won't. No hairs on.
But we wouldn't mind that. No. So you're going to say hello to your wife?
My wife Esther and daughter Sharon and son Derek. Happy Christmas. Hope you're keeping well. Everything's great here. But let's say hello to my mother and father too and hope my father's keeping well. I wrote about 4 letters a week. In a 3-night spell, I wrote 10 letters and I sent 14 Christmas cards. So there's nights you can write a lot and then take a bit of a break over 2 nights. You know? Mm-hmm. Each day is the same. So one day that's different to Sunday morning, if you're available, you get Mass. Otherwise, every day is the same. And they can get you.
Well, love, how did you get on over the Christmas? I hope you and Sharon and Derek all had a good time. I cannot tell you how good a time I had because it's only 2:30 a.m. on Christmas morning and as I'm writing to you, I am sitting on the side of a road on a hill in South Lebanon, freezing cold. I am and was thinking of you all today, Christmas Eve, and what you will be doing.
There's great talk of the war in the Gulf. Will it happen or not? There are lots and lots of rumours. Some say we will be pulled out. Others say that we will be brought to Tyre and based on the beach. Others say we will be shipped home. No one seems worried or frightened, but we do spend most of our free time glued to the World Service. Just recently we were issued with our nuclear, biological and chemical suits, NBCs. They're extremely warm. The respirator can get uncomfortable after a while. I was on checkpoint when I heard that the war had started. I wasn't worried, but did know we were far enough away and knew that there was a vague possibility, maybe of a nuclear attack and perhaps fallout, reaching us sometime. But it was highly unlikely, and I was sure the Allies would win. During the first few days of the war, it was certainly the main topic of conversation. It was the first question you asked when you woke in the mornings. What happened during the night? So we quickly got used to living our usual ordinary lives and our usually day-by-day duties. After a while, we lost interest in the war and the war over us. Some say they saw the Patriots taken off, but no one believed them.
All right, dear Daddy, I hope you are doing well for the next few weeks. And I miss you very, very much, and I wish you were back here right now.
Hello, Dad. Thank you for the lovely turtle towels. I put it up my wall, and Sharon gave me a big poster. I got a letter today, all for myself, and I was really glad.
I got your letter tonight, and it was great to hear from you. I heard about you and Sharon bringing Mammy her breakfast in bed on Saturday and Sunday.
You and Derek are doing a great job of looking after Mammy, even giving her breakfast in bed. I probably won't know yous when I come home. Yous will be all grown up when I come home.
I'm going to be an altar boy, so when you come home, you can come to Mass and see me. I got 18 to 20 in my spelling tests, and I got all my tables right, so that's not bad, Dad, is it? Daddy, I wish I was over there with you in the sun, as it's very cold over here. I love and miss you very much, and sometimes I do be crying for you. Take care of yourself. And as P.S., Mammy had to finish this letter as my hands were tired.
Dear Daddy, I hope you are keeping well and eating good food.
I'm sleeping in your bed for a week and Derek the other. Me and Mammy have a mess fight about who was going to sleep on your side of the bed. In the end, Mammy got it. And I asked her why, and she said because it's lovely and soft. On Monday night, I was crying. Don't forget to write and send a photo of yourself.
I'm now at checkpoint 611 Alpha, which is about 200 yards from the main camp. And the job is control the traffic in and out of the village, which is Tulin village. And we stop one car in five, say, and check the building and ask where they come from and what their business is going to the village.
Do you have any difficulties at all, ever?
No, like I say, we're competent NCOs there, and they know their job, know what they're doing. And if there's any hassle from individuals in cars, they're just turned away and sent back for where they came from.
You do this for how long?
Well, today I'm on checkpoint one, which starts at 8 o'clock, finishes at about 12:15, back on again at 4 till 8 o'clock tonight, off again till 12, and then back on for 12 until 8 o'clock the next morning.
And how long have you been all together at this checkpoint? Where were you before this?
Well, when I came out first, I was in 614 Charlie, which is an OP. I was out there for 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, and then I spent the last 5 months in the camp. Camp has a good side, which is a variety of duties, and one particular one is miscellaneous, and that you do shotgun, get you out of the camp for the day. The shotgun is no vehicle, no UN vehicle travelling the road out here unless they have a co-driver or a passenger with them. And that's what shotgun is. It goes everywhere with him. Another job in the camp is doing waiter for the officers. We call it piss boy, and we don't like doing it.
Tell me about how you've got on with the fellas.
Brilliant. Oh, we had the odd little wobbly. We have major wobblies and small wobblies, and we even put in wobbly reps. So that's the way life goes. Like, 6 months was a long time for a group of fellas to be together. A wobbly is just losing the head over something, no matter what it is.
How well did you get them to know the villagers?
Hello. I get to know them all to see personally, but as again, having a personal conversation, very few of them speak very good English, you know. But you can understand what they're saying. Especially on this checkpoint, like, you've got a lot of houses around us, and the locals more or less hang around here. There's not very much light in the area, so with the lights around the checkpoint, they kind of all gather and have a crack or whatever around the checkpoint.
Mm-hmm. And you always have children around?
I always have the children. Yeah. I'd go to school in the morning, coming home. This little girl is delighted with herself because she has to get a mingy watch there from Private Vinnie Kelly up the road there.
Oh.
She brings flowers down every day she's gone by. I think there's one or two sitting up there.
She brings
and
flowers?
Flowers to the lad, yeah.
She got it as a present?
Yes, she did. For being a good girl. At the end of the 6 months, how do I feel? Will I like to come out again or not? In the beginning of the tour, I thought I would never, ever want to come again. But now towards the end, I feel a bit different and would consider another trip. Mind you, I don't know how the family would feel about this, but I now can understand how some of the boys have made trip after trip, from as many as 5 or 6. The best of it all was being part of the international team and the great comradeship of the lads. We really did have a good time. The worst, of course, was missing the family and the long stretches of boredom.
I would like to thank you for your 6.5 months, in the case a lot of you were here in front of me, for the very dedicated and professional way you carried out your duties and your tasks while here in Lebanon. I said it to the groups last week and the week before that it was an honour for me to be with you and such a great group of guys. I don't think if I spent another 18 years in the army that I would get as much satisfaction and enjoyment out of 6 months as I have had here with you in Lebanon. I'd like to thank you and your families at home for the support that they gave you while you were here. I said in Collins Barracks in Dublin before we left that it was my wish to come over here with 126 guys and to go back with 126. And that is the way it is. And we have come out, we have done our job, and you can be satisfied and proud of the way you did your job. I'm certainly proud of the way you did it, and thanks a million for everything.
The night before we flew out that particular day, it was everybody was all excited and told that take it easy and relax. We were on duty for a couple of hours that morning, I think, as far as I can remember. And you just told the lawyer that I'd get a couple of hours sleep, it's a long old journey, but everybody got excited. And I'd seen two trips going home just the 2 weeks previous, and the same thing happened. You just can't relax. You're lying in the bed, and the heat is unbelievable. And you're just lying there in your underwear in the bed, and don't know what you're doing with yourself. And then you have your meal at 12 o'clock, your last meal. And at 2 o'clock, trucks pull out of camp, and you're going to Camp Shamrock to form with the convoy. And you have another hour and a half, 2 hours journey down to the border, and a couple of hours journey on the bus.
and then you fly home. It can be a long old journey, but everybody excited. No matter how tired you are, you just can't relax.
So tell me about your packing over the last few days.
Well, packing is a big thing, like getting ready to go home, and you'll find that when you're going to clear your locker, you're going to have more stuff than you have the space for. So we have this word called worrying. And any gear that you haven't got room for, you don't need, you worry it, and you just throw it away. I got 126 letters from my wife, plus a load more from my children, plus the rest of the family. And it was only sad I couldn't take them all home, because there's a hell of a lot of letters, and I just had to burn them and get rid of them.
Did you keep any at all?
I have one. I kept a 100 letter, and I have in my wallet. A 100 letter.
Tell me what you learned about the Lebanese while you were there.
They have a very, very hard life, especially the women. Women are more like second-class citizens out there, you know. And another way of life out there is that if a girl gets pregnant, which did happen a few weeks ago, and she's not married. But on this particular instance, our brother took out a shotgun and blew her away, and this chap that got her pregnant. That's the way of life out there.
And the women carry amazing things on their
head. Oh, unbelievable weights and size of things on their head. Like, a man won't do it. The women do all the carrying. And it's I don't think it's right at all, like, you know.
Did you get sick at all?
No, I wasn't sick. Not one day. I was a bit sore arm or whatever, but I wouldn't call it sick.
Did you try any Lebanese food at all?
I didn't, no. No, not at all. I never had a job opportunity to try, but what we did try there was the shoy. Now, when you're on checkpoint, usually the people nearest the checkpoint will bring shoy out to you in the mornings or late at night or whatever the case may be. But that was nice.
And shoy is?
Shoy is tea. They're Lebanese tea.
Did you get to know any Lebanese?
You get to know the children more so than anybody else. Like, you see the familiar faces every day of the week, and you say hello, I'm Mara Hubbard, or Lam, or Kisvak, how's it going, you know? The children are really fantastic, and it's just a pity that they've all that ahead of them. Like, they've nothing to really look forward to at all. I mean, their social event is walking the streets at night or going to somebody else's house for shy. And that's it, really. You know?
Are you going to do a big noise as you're going out the gate or something?
Well, try.
Try and do something. Not too loud, because it'll break my machine.
Say hip hip hurrah.
Pardon?
Smoke
everything else.
Are you happy, Tommy?
Sorry?
Are you happy?
Very happy. Very tired.
So you did nothing all day?
I know. Too warm to sleep.
Yeah. Did you not sleep at all?
No.
Too warm.
It's only gone down to that bad.
Get stand back, are you?
It's great watching all the checkpoints go behind me for the last time on this trip. Brilliant. Yeah, it's a little bit sad looking seeing the rest of the last week left behind, the 69, but I hope they have a great trip. And I know what they're going to go through for the next 6 months.
Was it tough now, looking back?
No, not really. It was tiring halfway through the trip, all right. But it's been very tiring.
Tell me, I have to ask you one thing. How do all the lads manage out here without sex?
I don't know. You want to talk to me individually? I couldn't tell you. There's a joke told that 10% of the lads masturbate and 90% are lawyers.
Was he telling me the truth?
Oh, he was indeed, eh?
Oh, he's
fall
off. Fall off.
You don't know what I said, lads.
Yeah. Well, what's
ball hopping?
Have truth.
Okay, listen, goodbye and safe journey the rest of the way. I'll see you all in Dublin. Okay, bye. Bye. Touchdown. You're welcome home.
Baggage belonging to the following personnel has been selected by customs officials for examination. Personnel whose names are called now should remain here in the hall. All others should walk through the customs area with their hand luggage and have their hand luggage available for inspection. The first list I read out is boxes. The following boxes have been selected. H30954 Signalman Murray P, 28th Battalion. Commandant Moriarty M, 5th Field Medical Company, FCA. 850754...
I thought you were all crying.
That's good.
I got to Esther and it was great to put my arm around the three of them at the one time. And I'm backing out. And I have to admit, a few tears came to my eyes. It really was nice to see them again.
Oh, it was great. It was a great feeling. Absolutely great. To see him looking so well and in one piece. And I said to myself, that's it. He's not going again.
My father wasn't too well, so he was just lucky to be able to travel into the barracks, and that was his limit, like, you know, because he spent most of his time in the bed, you know. So I had a couple of drinks with my father and my mother and a couple of aunts, and then we went home then, and I walked through the door, and this dream was a welcome home, daddy and everything else, and big spread on the table. Oh, it was brilliant.
Where are you keeping?
Sorry. That's the lady there.
It's
the lady with the mic here.
You all right,
Dan? Yeah. He's all right.
Keep
he looks
all right,
well,
yeah.
He's home.
You're keeping all right, Dan, yeah?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Everything all right? Yeah. Yeah. So you got the end. You're nearly big boy. So he's worse.
How do you think
he looks great.
He's
such handy and everything.
Yeah.
He looks good, Dan.
Yeah.
Does he look the same or does he look different?
He looks browner.
He looks gorgeous. I bet you never thought he'd get brown, did you?
No.
Just collect him and give him to David.
You made a tale for him.
You
want to push
him in. What? Have you got a surprise at home for him?
Yeah, we've got a surprise party and a big, huge cake. It's a big, huge cake and it has welcome home, Daddy. And
did you think it was a long time?
Yeah, but it was a long time and it went quick as well. It was long and quick, I thought.
Did you have any difficulties in the next couple of weeks about getting used to each other?
I think Esther started to miss our freedom.
But you see, you got into a routine when they're away. Like, I mean, I could go, like, Tommy never stopped me from going anywhere, but I could just say to the kids, right, we're going to a friend's for the weekend. You weren't tied to time to be back to cook dinners or anything. You just could go where you want. And, like, I mean, I didn't have to get up in the... I got up in the mornings, I could do what I want. But then with Tommy being there, you're putting the kettle on, Esther. Are you doing this, Esther? Where are you going? How long are you going to the shops for, Esther? What time will you be back at? Where that... I hadn't to deal with that for 6.5 months, and all of a sudden it's on top of you again, and having to make his lunch, which I hadn't to do. Oh, little things like that.
Did you have any rows?
Yeah, I wouldn't call them rows. It was about 2 or 3 weeks when you settled back down again. Just niggle little things. I don't know what. Couldn't pick anything out, but just normal husband wife situations as well.
But you did get. It did take time for you to get used to each other. Again.
It did.
You don't realise what we do out there. There's a lot of humanitarian work. Like, we help the locals out there, and the schools or whatever. Like, we employ the locals to work for us, or do contract work for us, and we give money for wherever the school builds or whatever. We give fuel for the heat and for the schools. Money for the building of roads, things like that. People don't realise that this is done out there, and a lot of work is done by the UN and by the Irish UN out there, and just let people know that we're not out there just standing on the side of the road and getting a few bob looking at the locals. Sometimes during the trip everything just stops and you say, what am I doing out here? I'm bored. You turn around and say, never again. But when it came to the first shock on home, I said, it was unbelievable. 6 months had gone so quick, and I decided to myself that I had enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I had. You know, it was a great trip, so I would go out again, no problem.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.